This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
This passage in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. This passage is where Jesus is sitting around with the disciples and Jesus, being curious, says, "Who are people saying that I am?" Some are saying, "Oh, he's Elijah, he's a prophet, he's this, he's that, he's a rabbi, he's a teacher." You know, they're all, you know, Moses, all sorts of things were being spoken about who Jesus was. And then he confronts them and he just says, "Well, all right, who do you say that I am? Let's quieten the noise, let's get rid of all the stuff. Who do you say that I am?" Jesus at this point had never said he was the Messiah. I don't think Jesus ever actually said, apart from "I'm the Son of Man," which they knew what that would have meant. But he never said, "I am the Messiah." Except for when he was before Jesus and he went, "The one in front of you is he." But Peter, having a revelation to his heart, says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And as we prepare to take communion today, I feel like that question is burning on my heart to ask you to personally, who is Jesus to you? Is he your Messiah? Is he your Savior? Is he the one that did the great exchange, my junk for his righteousness? And all it takes, if there is anyone in this room today that is going, "I haven't quite got to that point of just giving Jesus my life," it is simply saying, "Jesus, I want you and not the other stuff. I want your love, your grace, your mercy. I don't want to live with condemnation, brokenness, pain anymore. I want the love of Jesus." And he says, "Okay, son. Daughter, I give it to you." And I feel like God has challenged me this morning as well. One of the big things as Christians, in the big words in the Bible, it talks about repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is just acknowledging our need for God and turning away from our sin. Last night I was praying and thinking about this morning, and God just touched my heart. And before we take communion, before I can take communion, he's challenged me. There was a couple of services where I talked about, let's go kick the devil's butt. And God has convicted me through a phone call from one of my brothers in this house. But also, God's just convicted me last night that we don't do it, that God does. And so I repent of my attitude and my pride. In my enthusiasm for the kingdom of heaven to defeat the kingdom of evil, I stepped out of line, and I'm sorry, church. I hope you can forgive me. And all I want is him, because the more I have of him, the more victory we have. Anything that I pick up by myself ends up becoming very ill-fitting and very uncomfortable. We're in a place where God is saying, "Will you accept the gift that I gave you on the cross, and then let me, by my Spirit, transform you from the inside out?" So as we take communion, who do you say Jesus is? Is he the one who hung on a cross in your place? His body broken, his blood spilt for you and for me, so that we can do the amazing exchange of my filthy rags, my sin for his righteousness. It's pretty extraordinary. So, Father, we thank you for this reminder that we have every single week. of the body of Christ broken, and we just eat together now in remembrance of what you did for us. Scripture says that when the hour had come, and we know that Jesus at that point had actually breathed his last breath, he voluntarily gave up his life. They pierced his side and out flowed blood and water. We drink this cup as a remembrance of what he did. That because of his bloodshed, we are white as snow. Friends, there is no greater thing than to accept the transforming power of that. So let's drink together. Father, we thank you for the great exchange. We thank you for your incredible love. I thank you, Father, that there is nothing that I can do that can separate me from your love. There is no sin I've committed. There's nothing that you don't want to come and bring wholeness and healing into my life. Thank you, Jesus. So as I prepared for this week, if I can just have the first slide up. Living stones. There's a couple of passages in the scripture that say that, and even in that passage in Matthew 16, on this rock I will build my church. Peter says, we are living stones being built together with Christ as the cornerstone. I have Ephesians as my passage of scripture that I'm going to talk about today, because in the Passion Translation, it just says it so powerfully. And we will go there in just, where are we? There we go. But, I don't know about you, but there's really not much good stuff to watch on telly. And my usual thing is I get to sort of about 10:30-ish at night, and I just need something just to try and slow my head down. It's a scary place being inside my head, I can tell you. It just goes a million miles an hour. Some of you are probably going, no kidding. Anyway, I have been drawn recently, because there's nothing decent on the other main channels, but I've been drawn to the shows about gemstones and gold diggers and these guys that just rough life out in the middle in America they go to some really rough places, or back Australia or all those sort of things. The other day there was a group of them actually diving down into the rivers in Tasmania. Imagine it'd be super cold. And they had winches to get back rocks to try and get into these shelves, and they were finding gold in these river systems. It was quite extraordinary. And for the last 3 weeks, I've been on this journey of just every now and then I turn it on, oh, that show's on again, cool. You know, getting jade out of the ground where they're just covered in that sort of stuff. And the common thing of all of this is that there is always a whole heap of dirt and muck and whole heap of stuff that has to be broken through to get to the gold or to get to the sapphire or to get to the things. You ask Sondi has, and her husband are quite often go out foraging for stuff and finding these things, and then they refine them down. It's a really cool thing going over there for dinner the other night and seeing it. And this was all a part of the story that God's been sort of speaking to me. And I looked up and I've often loved going down to one of my favourite places back in New South Wales was to go up to Gloucester to the river system up there. And, of course, wherever there's lots of fast-running water, there's always smooth stones. And you pick up a stone, you skip it on the water and all the things that you do. But I went on a little bit of research this week and went, what is the process? And it talked about how so often the process happens right up on the mountains. and they're washed down. And all the hard edges and all the stuff is broken off, is just as it tumbles down, all the hard edges and all the harsh bits get done till eventually it gets down in the stream where the water and the pressure of the water creates this smooth stone. On those shows, they have sleuthing machines, which has this water that runs down and these vibrating sort of conveyor belts that vibrate all the stuff. The reason being is that the dirt has to get broken off so that the actual gold sinks to the bottom, because the gold is heavier, the gems are heavier than the actual, than the soil and all the things. So we end up with the beauty of the rock underneath. But it's hard. And so this process happens in our lives. And I'm going, so what are you keeping on saying this to me, God? And he went, the picture I kept on getting is that we are living stones. Why does God want us to come to him and allow his living water to wash off, to set us free, to break off all of the junk? Is so that we can rub up against each other and fit perfectly, because he's building his church. The enemy wants you to keep stuck. He wants to pile more junk on top of you. He wants no one to see the gold that is in your life. He wants you to be so covered in the stuff of life that you cannot get free. His mission, rob, steal, destroy. Our Father's mission, heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, life of abundance. But who knows that rubbing up against people isn't always easy, because there's a lot of people who are a bit spiky. Maybe I'm one of them for you, I don't know. I've been called an extra grace required person sometimes. But that's actually why God puts us in family. He puts us in church family because as God is doing something in Pam and in Bev and in Suzette and in Graham and anybody else, and they're rubbing up against me, who God's doing something in me, we're rubbing off the edges, and the living water is flowing from the Father through us so that we become living stones that he is building. Ephesians chapter 2, if you can just follow me with the slides as I read them out. I think it's about one or two verses per slide. Thanks, Nath. You're doing an amazing job. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God. All right, before I go on any further, what is this talking about? This is the passage where it is unpacking and saying at that point you had the Jews and you had the Gentiles. The revelation was just starting to flow through the early church that this new faith in Christ was not just for the Jewish people. It was for everyone. Another verse says, there's no slave or free, there's no Jew or Gentile, there's no male or female, we are all one under Christ. So that's what it's talking about. There is no division. There is no black and white. There is none of those things in the kingdom. When he looks at all of us, he just sees his kids with all their diversity and their beauty and their wonder. Imagine if we could be a people that actually learnt to celebrate the uniqueness of every single person around us, rather than trying to go, I'm better than you because of whatever. Whether it be the colour of our skin, whether it be our views on politics, whatever it is, doesn't matter. As humans, the enemy gets inside and wants us to be divided. God says, no, I want you to see beyond the stuff and I want you to see the heart. I want you to see the gold that is in every single person's life. None of us are exempt. And also, none of us have arrived. Good thing too, eh? We're all learning. We're all in the process. I'll go on. You are rising. I love the way the Passion Translation has put this. You are rising. You're rising up like perfectly fitted stones of the temple. And your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you. Each one of you. Anyone who comes to that place and goes, okay, God, I surrender. I give my life to you. He takes every person and he's wooing a whole heap of others that don't know their father yet. All around the world. The entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies. His dwelling place through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Let those words sink in. In the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies was a place that only the high priest could go. If you want to read about that, it's through Deuteronomy. It talks about a lot of those things, and they had to wear special gowns with bells on so that if the bells stopped ringing, they knew that something had happened and they needed to get the priest out of there pretty quick because he was about to get consumed by God's presence. And as I said a few times, now he says, we are the Holy of Holies. His presence dwells in here. In you, Pam, in you, Jody, in every person. And we're built together. We're all carriers of his presence. Pretty spectacular picture when you think about it, isn't it? And you don't have to do anything special. You don't have to be anyone special. It sounds weird that I'd ask God what to dress for church. But he went, I don't want you to put a shirt on today. Don't want you to put your boots on. I want you just to be in jeans and a t-shirt. Because it's not about what you wear. It's not about the position that I have up here and as the role of senior pastor. It's none of those things because I'm just a part of this body. I've just got my role to play. And you've got a role too, no matter what that looks like. If you're visiting with us and you're a part of other church communities, you are a part of that community for a reason, unless God is actually pulling you out and putting you somewhere else, in which case he's doing that a lot at the moment because he's repositioning his church without putting any pressure on any person saying, I want you to leave your church and come here. You need to be where God has called you to be. this week. We've had a letter from Bruce, and that's been sent out to everyone, that he is feeling that he has been called into something else. Doesn't quite know what it is yet, but he's called and moving into something else. And we bless him and Lynn to find the community where God is placing them for their next stage in the journey. We love and cherish and we honour them for what they have done here, and it doesn't change anything on that front. But this is a new season for Bruce and Lynn, and we bless them. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to do something publicly to be able to bless them. I don't want anyone to be in this church that's meant to be somewhere else, the same as I don't want someone that's somewhere else not here. Because God will be positioning people for the kingdom purposes that he has in this place. Because he has a unique shape for every single community. We are not meant to look like the community down the road. We're meant to look like Mumbog Christian Fellowship. Because it's a unique thing that God is calling us to do and be. And we're still exploring it. We haven't got the full picture yet. And it's okay. Well, I hope you're okay with me not having it. Because I don't yet. But all I do know is that I want to be a group of people who actually pursue the presence of God, allow the living water, allow us to rub up against each other so that we become a walking group of people, living stones. That when we go out into our communities, there's going to be something so radically different about us that they're going to start asking questions about what it is. How come you love each other like you do? So my encouragement to each of us this morning is to surrender to the process that he wants to take you on. We've sort of heard it this morning through our prophetic words. Don't fight it. Don't hang on to stuff. Trust me, it's painful knowing that there's something in my heart that's not right. But I can tell you, even that simple thing of repenting, I feel lighter because of it. Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit was on me, if I hadn't have walked down there and I walked out the door and I was still carrying it, I would be feeling that weight still. I don't feel it anymore. I could tell from the way you all looked at me and went, "It's all good. We forgive you. Let's move on. Let's learn from our mistakes." And that's what God does for us. We think if our view of God is a loving father, if I am bringing discipline into the lives of my boys, I don't want them to make them feel worse. I just don't. I want to bring correction so that their lives are easier. And the Father wants to do that for every single one of you as well. But there's some bumps and there's some bruises and there's some things that happen if you're going down from the mountain down through the stream and you're rubbing up against the rocks. It's just a part of life. And it's hard and it's frustrating and at times it really hurts deeply. And that's why we need our brothers and sisters. I would hate it that we can't go to someone within the life of this community and go, "You know what, I am feeling really hurt today by something. Can you pray for me?" There's been some people recently going, "I'm really struggling to be able to afford to get to church." Okay, how can we fix that? And let's make sure we do. Because I wouldn't want anyone not coming to church because they can't afford to put fuel in their car. We'll sort it. It's important. Because I long to see a day where we've got a church community that is just like it is in Acts, where nobody had a need. And the only way nobody had a need is that I had to learn to express my needs. And you had to learn to express yours. Because I believe the no one had a need thing wasn't just physical and financial needs. I believe it was emotional and spiritual needs too. Because we are triune beings just like our Father. So God wants to heal us emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Sometimes it will get messy. And if you've been around our world this week, there's lots of little messes going on around our world. And that's okay. Because that's where we really learn how to love. I can love you if you're agreeing with me, but if you're not, no, that's when we're meant to open our arms even more so and go, help me understand your point of view. If we become so secure in Christ, I won't be actually worried about people not agreeing with me all the time. In fact, I'll be open to listen and learn. And I want a mature group of people who can do that together. Father God, I thank you. For the journey you've taken us on as a community, that the journey that you're taking your whole church into, all around the world. I thank you for this incredible love that you have for us. Father, help us to be able to receive it. Father, help us and give us the courage to submit to the process as we rub up against each other, and at times it's going to get a bit bumpy and it might hurt a bit. But your living water is going to be flowing through us so that we become smooth, precious gems being built together into your church that you're returning for, I suspect, pretty soon. So, Father, I give you permission to continue to work in my heart. And it is my heart and prayer that as a whole community we do the same. In Jesus' name. There's two areas that I feel like God wants to minister into this morning. One, we've heard the testimony of depression and those things being lifted off Denise. And so if there's anyone in this place that just has been struggling with some mental health struggles and just feeling like there's this depression or oppression that you've been struggling with, I would, you know, if you want, don't feel comfortable to come up and speak to me, you know, up the front or whatever, but you need prayer, please don't leave without getting some prayer, and I might even grab Denise to come and pray with you. I don't know whether that's a normal thing for you to declare in church like you did this morning. Is that a normal thing? That is a normal thing? That's okay. I haven't heard you speak like that. It was amazing. It was really, really powerful. But yeah, I'd like to pray into that. The other thing is probably something a little bit bigger, and I'd love to just pray into those things there. One of the things that I have observed over the last few weeks is that, have you ever had a situation where you tell somebody you love and care for them, but it basically hits a brick wall? In fact, it's probably more than that. It hits a rubber wall, it bounces back at you twice as fast, and the love is rejected. Am I the only one that's experienced that? I feel like the Father is actually saying to us today, will you allow me to break through the wall that you've got protecting your heart that is actually stopping you from receiving my love? There's no secret recipe for it. There's no divine prayer on that other than, God, I choose to bring down the wall so I can, and not only can I receive love, but also experience love. I actually don't feel I need to do a call to the front. If anyone wants specific prayer in that, then please come down the front. But I just want to give you an opportunity as you sit in your chair, because this is a really private thing between you and God. If that's you this morning that says, oh, I know there's a wall up. In your heart, will you just pray this prayer? And if you want to share some more, or you want to dig into it a little bit deeper, then please come and get some prayer after the service. Father God, I know I've got a wall up. And I'm asking for your Holy Spirit's help to bring it down. so that I can receive love and I can give love to those around me. Father, I invite your love to break through it deep into my heart so that I will know, because I know, because I know, because I know that I am loved. And then, Father, give me the courage to keep the wall down, even when circumstances come my way where it's really tempting to go back and hide. Father, I ask that you give us courage to do this as a community, so that we as a whole community can be radically transformed because of your love for us. And then we can love others with that same love that we've received from you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.